Take our Bibles tonight, turn to Luke chapter number 23. Luke chapter number 23. We'll be looking at verses 33 through 47 of Luke chapter number 23. If you would, let's stand together as we read the Word of God. Luke 23, verse 33. The Bible says, "And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself, if he be the Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, Certainly, this was a righteous man. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, tonight for the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ and what Jesus did for us there on that old rugged cross. We thank you, dear Lord, that he's no longer on the cross and never will be on the cross again. We thank you, Lord, that 3 days and three nights later, he rose from the grave. And we serve a living Savior. We thank you, Lord, that you're alive and well. And one of these days, some golden daybreak, Jesus will come, as Brother Tim spoke about, and we just sang about, one day our Lord is coming again, and we're our loved ones that are buried out here in these cemeteries. Lord, the folks call them graveyards, but they're resurrection ground for those that are saved. They're going to get up out of those graves, and we're going to meet them in the air with the Lord, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I pray you'd help us tonight as we look at Calvary. I pray you'd take us back, Lord, and think about when we got saved. And I pray that somehow or another the Holy Spirit of God would make Calvary real to us tonight. Yes. And we'll thank you and praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. You know, these days, the whole world is thinking about the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus. You know, it's somehow or another it's just been set in order that way. I know that there's a lot of folks that would rather put it out of their mind. But they just can't help but think about it. They see the blooms coming out on the trees here in springtime. They have to think about just a few weeks ago that tree was dead. But now it's got life. Look at it. It's blooming. God's fixed this thing so that whether they want to think about of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ or not, it's all around us. Everywhere we look these days, we see resurrection. We see life coming from death. We see trees that once we could look through because it looked as if there was no leaves on their branches, and it looked as if they were dead, but all of a sudden, they're coming alive. They're coming alive. And we as Christians certainly ought to be thinking about the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, it's Catholic tradition that Jesus was crucified on Friday. They call it Good Friday. But you have a hard time getting 3 days and three nights from Friday to early Sunday morning when he rose up from the grave. Fact of the matter is, he probably was crucified sometime on maybe tomorrow. There's some scholars here tonight that could tell us all about that. They've studied that, and they could tell us all about that, but I can't. All I know is I don't think he was crucified on Friday. And so you can forget about Good Friday. That comes from the Catholics. And I don't know about you, but I don't want nothing they got. All right. So tonight, I want to look at the miracles of Calvary. You know, we as Baptists, you notice our crosses are empty. You look at our crosses in our churches, and there's nothing on that cross. You see a Catholic, they got what they call a crucifix around their neck. They got Jesus still on the cross. Well, I'm going to tell you something. He came down off of that cross. He was buried. He rose again. And there'll never be a time when he'll ever get back on that cross again. Hey, the next time he comes, he's coming as they wrote it on it over it, that he was a king of the Jews. But I'm telling you, the next time he comes, the first time he came to die for our sins. But the next time he comes, he's coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I'll tell you what, I don't know exactly what kind of, the Bible says we're going to be on a white horse. And I just have to take the Bible at its word there. I believe we're going to be the great army of God is going to be marching on this old world. But you know what? We're not going to have to lift a finger. Because the captain of our salvation, he's not coming to die. He's coming to take over. He's coming to set up his kingdom there in Jerusalem on the throne of his father David. That golden gate that they've got blocked up because they know that the prophecy is that he'll go through that golden gate. Hey, they've got it blocked up. And I'm going to tell you, one of these days, hey, the stuff that they got in the way is not going to stand in his way. He's going through that gate. He's going to establish his throne on the throne of his father David. But I want us to look tonight in these scriptures here, the miracles of Calvary that we see in these verses. You know, there's some miracles here that only God could have done here in this chapter that we just read a little bit ago. And the first one that I want us to look at is in verse number 34, where Jesus said, as he was hanging there on the cross, and he was looking out over that crowd of folks there that had gathered, and probably most of them were the ones that when he was being tried in Pilate's hall, they were the ones that said, "Release Barabbas." And then Pilate said, "Well, what should I do with this just man?" And they cried out, "Crucify him." They said, "Let his blood be upon us and upon our children." That's what they said. And did you know the Jew has been the most persecuted people in the history of mankind? And they are still the most persecuted people, the Jewish people. But that's what they cried out. "Let his blood be upon us and upon our children." And boy, they've seen that very thing come to pass. But here we see in verse number 34, as Jesus looked out over that crowd, and I believe because he was God, he wasn't just looking at time there, but he was looking down through time. In fact, into eternity future, Jesus was looking down. And you know what? I believe he saw me there. I believe he saw you there. And when he uttered this saying, he was not just saying it to those people that were there, but he was saying that to me And he was saying that about you when he said these words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Boy, how many times have you shook your head at yourself and wondered, why in the world would I do something like that? I mean, you've done things in your life down through your days, and even now, although the Lord's forgiven you of it, the devil wants to bring it back up, and you'll find yourself just shaking your head saying, why did I do that? Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I'm going to tell you, that was a miracle right there. The miracle of forgiveness. Nobody can forgive like God can. I tell you, if you want a real picture of forgiveness, look at Calvary. Look at Jesus hanging there on that cross with that crown of thorns on his head. And the flesh actually ripped from his body and the agony of the cross there. If you want to see real forgiveness, you look at that picture. Get that picture in your mind. There's nobody ever loved you like Jesus loved you. There's nobody that can forgive like God can forgive. I'm going to tell you something. There's been some folks that have wronged me down through the years, and I would love to be able to forgive them like God forgives. But you know what? I fall short of that. And that's a weakness of my flesh. You see, I'm still in this flesh. But one of these days, we're going to drop this old robe of flesh and we're going to rise. And when we get our glorified body, we're going to be able to forgive like God forgives. One glorious daybreak. And so we see here in these verses the miracle of forgiveness. Aren't you glad that God forgave you? He forgave you. And you know, as the scripture teaches us, because He forgave us, we also ought to forgive one another. The miracle of forgiveness. What a wonderful thing forgiveness is, and how destructive it is when we don't forgive. It actually destroys the person who needs to do the forgiving. It destroys you, and it causes that unforgiveness in your heart and your life to destroy everybody around you. The miracle of forgiveness. Notice also the miracle of salvation in verses 42 and 43. And he's talking to this other malefactor. He said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Hey, that was deathbed repentance. That old boy was already on the cross. He was in the process of dying. But he said, Lord, remember me. And the miracle of salvation took place because Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. I'll tell you what, I don't believe the Lord will give up on you. Even in the last moments, if you're in a situation to where you can be convicted by the Holy Spirit of God and you can repent of your sins, God will save you. Fact is, there's going to be a whole lot of people in heaven that we thought didn't make it. There's going to be a whole lot of people there that we thought didn't make it. But you know what? The mercy of God runs deeper. It runs deeper than the stain is gone. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from every sin. And there's going to be people that you thought didn't make it, and you're going to see them there in heaven. But you know, on the other side, on the flip side of that, there's going to be people that's not there that you thought was going to be there. You know, salvation is of the Lord. And so we have the miracle of salvation. Isn't it wonderful that people can still get saved by the grace of God, just like this fellow did there on the cross of Calvary, on the cross there beside the Lord Jesus Christ. Thirdly, notice with me the miracle of the darkness. the miracle of the darkness. In verse number 44, it says, and it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour, and the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. Now, if you like me, you got a smartphone, you can pull up. I've got the time zones in different spots in the world on my phone so that I can tell whether or not I'm going to wake a missionary up or not if I call him. And so if I want to call Brother Lawrence, I look there to see if it's dark in Romania or if it's what time it is, and I can call him and not worry about waking him up. Now, I woke Brother Holloway up several times before I figured out how to do that. He'd answer the phone. I said, hey, brother, it's time to get up and get to work. He said, it's 1 o'clock in the morning, Brother Mayo. What's wrong with you, you missionary, you lazy bum? Well, I got smart, got me a smartphone. Now I can figure out what time it is in these different time zones. But the scripture says right there that darkness was over the whole earth. The whole earth. The miracle of the darkness. In other words, when Jesus became sin for you and me, that was something that God said, I want to keep special. I want to keep that between me and my son. I don't want nobody seeing what's going on here. And when Jesus took our sin, he became sin for us. God shut the lights out. And Jesus paid our sin debt in those moments. Every sin that I've ever committed, every sin that you've ever committed in those moments, the blood of Jesus Christ paid for your sin. That's one time I'm thankful for the darkness. I'm glad that God cut the light out while Jesus became sin for you and me. Then notice with me the miracle of Christ's death. The miracle of Christ's death. You know, there's nobody that's ever died like Jesus died. There's no man has ever died like Jesus died. In fact, Jesus said, talking about his life, he said, I have power to lay it down and I have power to take it up again. When the time came, you know, God always does things right on time. He doesn't do it on our time. He always does it in his time, and he always does it right on time. In the fullness of time, the Bible said. And when that time came, the Lord Jesus just simply dismissed his spirit. He gave up the ghost. That's what it said. No man ever died like this man. Verse 46, and when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. He just dismissed his spirit. But you know what? He didn't cease to exist at that moment. He was still God. And the physical part of him died. Literally died. But the God part of him was still very much alive. Because there in that, as his physical body lay there in that tomb, the Bible says that he descended into the lower parts of the earth during that time period. And he led captivity captive. What does that mean, Brother Ben? That means he got all them Old Testament saints. Man, you're talking about a time. I imagine they had a time when Jesus said, I've come to take you home. And the Bible says he led captivity captive, and those Old Testament saints got up with him, and Jesus took them to glory, transported paradise up to heaven. And that's where the Old Testament saints are now. And so the miracle of Christ's death. No man ever died like this man. Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. He just dismissed his spirit. And then 3 days later, he said, time to get back up. He said, I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up again. The miracle of the death of Christ. No man ever died like Jesus died. Those Roman soldiers didn't take his life. They couldn't take his life. He didn't have to call 10,000 angels. He could have come down off that cross himself if he wanted to. Our quartet used to sing, "He didn't come down." I'm glad he didn't come down. I'm glad he stayed. They said, you know, if you who you say you are, save yourself. Come down off that cross. Well, I'm glad he didn't listen to him. I'm glad he stayed there. He stayed there until the law was satisfied. Amen. The law was satisfied. And the love of God was displayed. Amen. As one place where the love of God and the law of God met at the same place. The love of God was manifested there. God so loved the world. But then the law of God was satisfied there at the death of Christ. And then notice with me the miracle of the rent veil. The miracle of the rent veil. And anyway, in Mark chapter 15, it says, "And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And when the centurion which stood over against him saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, truly this was a son of God." Ephesians chapter 2 verse 12 says that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. For to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." The middle wall, the veil was rent from the top to the bottom. It's said that it was over 4 inches thick, that it would take two teams of horses pulling in opposite directions, and they couldn't even pull it apart. But when it came time for the veil to be rent, it wasn't no problem for God. He just reached over the balcony of heaven, grabbed a hold of that veil, and ripped her in two. And we've been made priests unto God. He's invited us to come boldly to the throne of grace, where we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. The miracle of the rent veil. We don't have to go through some man to get to God. We go through one mediator, and his name is Jesus. And then, last but not least, the miracle of what he did for you and me in saving us. The old hymn writer put it like this. Said, "Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. Knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. By God's word at last my sin I learned. Then I trembled at the law I'd spurned, till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Now I've given to Jesus everything. Now I gladly own him as my King. Now my raptured soul can only sing of Calvary." Oh, the songwriter said, oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. He said, oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. I'm going to tell you something. There was a whole lot of miracles that happened at Calvary. And I'm looking at a bunch of them tonight, sitting here in these pews. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There, my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. You know, there's three main characters besides our Lord at Pilate's trial, at the trial of Jesus before Pilate. That's Judas, and then Pilate, and Barabbas. Judas, I see him as the remorseful sinner. He was sorry for his sin, but being sorry for your sin's not enough. You see, he didn't have godly sorrow. He had worldly sorrow. What's that, Brother Ben? That's being sorry you got caught. Or that's being sorry because of what it cost you. But godly sorrow is when you realize you've sinned against God. And old Judas, he was remorseful. He was sorry for his sin. Fact is, the Bible says he went out and killed himself. But being sorry won't do it. You got to repent of your sin. You got to realize you've sinned against God. And then you have Pilate. I see him as the respectful sinner. What did Pilate do? You know, he did the religious thing. He went and got him a pan of water and washed his hands in that water. What was he trying to do? He's trying to wash the blood of Jesus off of his hands. So he was doing him a little ceremony there, a religious ceremony. And he washed his hands in that water and he said, I have nothing to do with this just man. And then you have Barabbas. There's old Barabbas. He's down there in a jail cell. He don't know that there's something going on, some negotiations being made that involves him. He doesn't know anything about it. And he thinks that the next cling of the keys that he hears, they're going to be coming to get him to nail him to one of those crosses. And Pilate said, whom shall I release unto you? And they said, release Barabbas. And Pilate said, what will I do with this just man? They said, crucify him. So there was a deal made there. And so Barabbas, they come down, they put the key in. He's expecting to be taken to be crucified. But what happens? Oh, Barabbas gets released. He's the only one of the three that got released because the law was satisfied on his behalf. Now, whether or not Barabbas got saved, I don't know. But I do know this, he was set free. And Jesus took his place. If you're here tonight and you've never been set free, I want you to know that there's one that took your place. He will save you if you'll come to him. The miracles of Calvary. I think in these days we ought to be thinking about the cross. And come Sunday morning, we ought to be ready for getting up morning for Resurrection Day. Brother Tim, you come, and do you want me to give the invitation? Okay. Brother Tim's going to come with a song of invitation tonight. Let's stand with the heads bowed and our eyes closed. We'll get ready to pray here in just a little bit. You may be here tonight. Maybe God spoke to your heart. Maybe someone here who's lost, who's never been saved. Maybe you've been a remorseful person. Maybe you've been real sorry because maybe you got caught doing something. Somehow or another, you've suffered a loss because of your wrongdoing. And maybe you've tried to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to tell you, that's not salvation. Salvation is repentance, repenting of your sin, and trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. You might be like Pilate. You might be trying to fix it. You might say, well, I can do this or I can do that and I can make it better. He washed his hands in that water, trying to wash the blood of Jesus off his hands. And you're doing religious things trying to satisfy that, but that's not going to save you. Why don't you be like Barabbas? Why don't you get set free? Just realize you're a sinner, confess your sin to God, and let Him save you. I wonder, with heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, how many of you can say, Without a doubt, I know I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. Can I see your hand? God bless you all over the auditorium tonight. I didn't get to look at every hand. You can take them back down. I really didn't see if there was someone who didn't raise their hand. I didn't do that to try to embarrass you. I did that so that you could be honest with yourself and honest with God. If you're here tonight, you've never been saved, and you could not raise your hand to that, we're going to begin singing a song here. As we sing, start out on the first verse. If God spoke your heart and you know you need to get saved, why don't you make your way down to this altar? Somebody take the Bible, show you how to be saved.